And let's take our Bibles whilst we're remaining to stand over to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, this is a song that Devin just had the ensemble sing just a few moments ago. This is the psalm that I am encouraging you to commit to memory. Eight verses there, and I think it would behoove you to memorize all eight, amen, as well as any other verses that we come across as we go through the Psalms for the soul. I've been anxious about this topic probably for the last 9 or 10 months. God gave me this last year, and ever since he gave it to me, my heart has been just itching to get in here and preach in the Psalms. Amen. I'm going to say a lot today about the Psalms in general. And so if you don't get a chance to take it all in, please don't be alarmed and say, I didn't get a chance to write it all down. I'm going to put a whole bunch of stuff out there. I'm just going to let you know up front. Don't get bewildered and say, oh, he's going too fast. Amen. It's just information about what the Psalms mean to us. And I'm sure you will agree with that. And you probably won't write it down anyway, just because you're going to get thinking, yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's me. Amen. But just let you know, don't be alarmed, because I will give you a flood of information today in regards to the Psalms. Psalm 121, we're going to read this. Let's go ahead and alternate this one. I was going to read it, but no, we'll alternate this. Now, let's read all of it together. Amen. I was going to have responsive reading, but I think we all need to just read this together. Amen. I've preached this psalm here before. How many remember me preaching this psalm several years ago? Amen. Only one? Two. Brother Hall remembers it because he got saved off of this message. Amen. Brother Hall had come to church, and I was preaching through this, and I think it was the second or third message of this series. And Brother Hall happened to come in, and he said, I'm getting saved today. Amen. So praise the Lord. Psalm 121, let's read it all together. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Any omies? All right, let's read together. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Psalm 121 is believed to be a traveling song. And as the writer of the psalm was traveling, they began to reflect on Jerusalem. And they were reminding themselves of God's protection, whether it was during the daytime or the nighttime. And so many think it was a travel song. It could be many, many other things. But the psalms in general can be defined as praise hymns or lyrical pieces which were written to be sung unto the Lord. Many of them have the inscription across the top to the chief musician. So the chief musician's job was to take the psalm that was pinned down and put it to music. Amen. A lot of poets are like that. They'll pin down some words and they'll give it to a songwriter and say, look, could you put some lyrics to this? And they do that. Many of the psalms may also depict a specific event like this one does right here. I'm going to say much about the Psalms. The scope of this particular psalm is to show that God alone is the refuge of the distressed, whether you're at home or abroad. While some are looking for earthly comfort and support, the psalmist states, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. In this psalm, why the psalmist looks to the hills is unknown. However, it's most likely a reference to Jerusalem, which was located on a hill. Looking to Jerusalem was synonymous with looking to the Lord. In verse 2, the psalmist wants to make sure that there's no question as to what his intentions are in looking to the hills. He says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And so there's no doubt where his help was coming from. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're going to get any kind of help, there's no doubt where it's going to come from. It's not going to come from man. It's not going to come from methodology. It's not going to come from any other thing but from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all that we need, and he is all that will take us through. The psalmist saw that vividly and penned down these words inspired by the Holy Spirit. As a result of that, we have the Psalms today. I do pray as we go through this introduction today, you'll just take note at what the Psalms mean to you. And as we go through the Psalms, I pray that you would get a deeper love for the Psalms. I guarantee you, there's a Psalm for everything you go through. You can't go through something that's not down in the Psalms. They've gone through everything. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that this morning, but get a Psalm that fits your soul. Get a Psalm that fits your situation. Get a psalm that fits your circumstances. Get a psalm, hold on to that psalm, memorize that psalm, and put it to words. Put it to music, I mean. And meditate on it. It'll minister to your soul. Father, work in us. Work through us today. Lord, much will be said about the Psalms, and Lord, I pray that you will use this feeble preacher this morning. Lord, take me to be able to relay the psalmist's heart to needy hearts. Well, we're talking about psalms for the soul, and Lord, many of us recognize that our souls need energizing. Our souls need lifting up. At times, our souls need encouragement. And Lord, the psalms cover a variety of emotions. And I pray that as we go through the introduction today, our love for the psalms would be multiplied. Well, if we're multiplying a love for the Psalms, then we have to multiply our love for the one who inspired the Psalm, and that's our God in heaven. These are real people writing about a real God who really loved them. Lord, we are real people who really need you and really love you as well. Lord, we need some things from you today. We need some things from you over the next several weeks. We need some things from you over the next several months and into the next year. Lord, we need from you. Help us to find the resources that we need to identify with a holy God, what you're doing in our lives, what you want to do in our lives, and what we can do with our lives when it comes to you. Lord, there's a man, woman, boy, or girl here today without Jesus Christ. If they've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, truly because they're here, I believe they have believed in Jesus Christ. Well, maybe there's a man, woman, boy, or girl that's not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The same way Brother Hall got saved years ago, I pray that the messages would be used to save that man, that woman, that boy or girl, before it's everlasting too late. Now, Lord, help me to preach your word by the Holy Spirit's power today, in spirit and in truth and passion and in power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. We have a special. Ms. Charmaine's going to sing for us.
Discouraged, and why should the shadows come, and why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven at home when Jesus my portion, a constant friend is he, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me, and I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I am free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubt and fears. Though by the path He leadeth, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, and whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. And I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I am free. His eye is on the spell,
is on the sparrow. Praise the Lord. Well, let me tell you that, again, this has been a long-awaited time for me to be able to spend a year or two. I told the men yesterday we had started the Blessed Man, or Psalms for the Soul for Men. And as we're going through the subject of Psalms for the Soul for Men, we're going to be dealing with the Blessed Man, or every time in the Psalms where it says, blessed is the man. And we looked at those briefly yesterday, and Pastor White, I was ready to preach yesterday. Amen. Just going through the series, going through those things, I thought, man, I'm just getting excited, amen, and I'm ready to do this. And so I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this, amen. Well, let me give you some things about this. Like I say, today is more going to be an introduction than anything. And so I trust you'll pray for me as I go through this. There is a lot of emotion in the Psalms.
Amen.
Many of the Psalms were written by King David. Many of you know David was a man after God's own heart, and David was a very emotional man, and he was not ashamed to show that as well. In front of Jonathan, Saul's son, and in front of many others, he was not afraid to weep over situations. He was not afraid to weep over his own sin. He was not afraid to show himself joyful. His bride, Michael, kind of sneered at him when she saw him out dancing around and prancing around. She was kind of embarrassed about that and shame for him. And he said, look, this is a great day. I'm going to praise God. Amen. So David had no restrictions when it came to showing himself emotionally. And I'm going to get worked up on some of these. I know I am, but praise God. I'm just thinking about it. Going through the study, one of the things that I'm going to put before you during testimony time is share your favorite psalm.
Amen, Pastor.
And share what the verse means to you. You know, so testimonies, get up. You know, you talk about what God's done. Talk about a verse that God has used out of the Psalms. Amen. And we did that one time, and I mean, used up the entire service and still went overboard. And many people still wanted to give more about their favorite Psalms. And so that was one of the things that kind of put me in that direction. I had already been praying about that theme. And then that night just kind of solidified that God said, no, you need to do this because people need to hear about the Psalms. Amen. And so we're looking forward to that. In regards to these, you know, you'll find that from Psalm 120 on, a long way after that, many of these are called songs of degrees, and they go together in some way, shape, fashion, or form. But notice when 123 talks about lifting up his eyes as well. Notice what he says there. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. So just like Psalm 121, where he says, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, where cometh my help. The psalmist here says, unto thee I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Isn't that just like us? We're looking to God and saying, God, fill me. God, give me. God, help me. God, work in me. Give me what I need. And that is the way we are oftentimes. And so the Psalms are very descriptive in the direction that they're looking. Amen. And look at Psalm 124, because this is very depictive of you and I. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, how many of y'all would say, if it had not been the Lord that was on my side, I would have quit? I'd have gave up. I'd have packed up. I'd have moved out. If it had not been the Lord who was on my side, I was sharing with the marriage class. My wife and I went through 3 ectopic pregnancies before we got G2. And through it all, you know, we blame God a little bit. But, you know, if it wasn't for God being on our side, I would have quit. I would have gave up. But I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I would have quit if it had not been the Lord who was on my side. But I looked down here and I see that young man right there. And it was worth it all. It was worth all the headache. It was worth all the toil. But I'm here to tell you, if it had not been the Lord who was on my side, I would have quit. If it had not been the Lord, sometimes I say, Lord, I can't stand this no more. I can't take this no more. I'm ready to just quit and throw in the towel. Amen. It's about the time when I have no strength left. It's when God reaches down. He said, are you finished? Let me take over from here. Let me stand you upright on your feet. Let me give you your marching orders again. Let me give you your charge again. You're a child of the King, and I want you to act like it. I want you to walk like it. But it doesn't stop the emotions that King David showed. It doesn't stop the emotions that you and I will go through when we serve God. It doesn't stop the fact that we are real people. We have feelings. And that's what the Psalms show. The reality of who man is, his highs, his lows, his good points, his bad points. It shows everything about man. Everything that you ever think you will go through is listed in the Psalms in some way, shape, fashion, or form. If it had not been the Lord, the psalmist said, who was on our side. Now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, and he begins to talk about what they would have tried to do, but then come down to verse 7. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare. Out of the fowlers, the snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. That is good. You know, God's always delivering us out of something. And it's been said that we're either going into a problem, in the midst of a problem, or coming out of the problems. And so, that said, we should always be in the book of Psalms. Because we're either going into a problem in the midst of one or going out of one. And so we need to always be in the Psalms because it has the whole range of emotions in it. You look at what is here. Had that been the Lord who was on our side, we pack up and go home. By the way, going back to Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. When you look at that psalm, the psalmist is looking up to the hills. And he says, my help is coming from the Lord. And the Lord sees me, and the Lord knows. And so God's going to help me. And so I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on the Lord. By the way, aren't you glad that God is not just the God of the hills, but he's the God of the valleys? The choir sang, even in the valley, God is good. You know, just because you and I go through a valley or a period in life that we would call it a downtime, or we would call it a period of suffering or sorrow or woe, or a period that doesn't seem good to us, just because we go through the valley doesn't mean that God doesn't see. And I'm so glad that God is not only just the God of the hills, but he's the Lord of the valleys. And I'm so glad he sees me just as well in the valleys as he does on the hills. Let me give you a story about a mistaken king. Hold your fingers there and go over to 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. There was a king that thought that God was just the God of the hills. And boy, was he gravely mistaken. 1 Kings chapter 20. And notice verse 22. Verse 22. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go, strengthen thyself. Mark and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills. Notice that. They came to the king. They said, you know what, king? Their God is the God of the hills. Let's get them away from the hills, and I bet you we can whoop them. Amen. It's almost like saying, let me get you away from your daddy, and I believe I can whoop you. You get away from your big brother, and I believe I can whoop you. Get away from whatever it is that you have that you call your strength, and I can take you. You don't mess with God's people. Notice what happens down here. He says, verse 23, and the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But let us fight again them in the plain. Surely we should be stronger than they. And do this thing. Take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms. And number thee an army like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. And we will fight against them in the plain. And surely we should be stronger than they. Boy, are you wrong. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. So in other words, they're outnumbered. The Israelites are small in comparison in number. And they figure because they're small in number and because their God is the God of the hills, we got them down in the valley area, we can defeat them. Hey, let me tell you something. When the odds are stacked against you, when you don't think that God sees, when you don't think God knows, when you're down in the lowest depths of despair, when you think there's no hope left, God is still on our side. God is still on our side. Two little kids, they said, like a flock of two little kids. Verse 28. There came a man of God. Amen. Aren't you thankful for a man of God that always comes and delivers the word just when you need to hear it? Amen. And spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Boy. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the seventh day, the battle was joined and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. But the rest fled to Aphek and to the city, and there was fell upon 27,000 of men that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city into an inner chamber. You know what they found out, the Syrians? God is not just the God of the hills that we look to. He's the Lord of the valleys. And I don't care what valley you find yourself in, God sees you. And God knows where you're at. And God understands. And many of the Psalms were printed in times of exaltation when they were on top of the hills. But many of the hymns, many of the Psalms were penned when people were down in the depths of despair. You read Psalm numbers 2, numbers 3 and 4 and 5, and David is on the run from Absalom. And he's pinning these Psalms down because of Absalom's intrigue and his overthrow. And he's writing, hey, I'm in the valley, but God, you see me. And you know, and you understand. You know, when it comes to valleys, none of us like to be in valleys. But we have to recognize that God is not only the God of the hills, but also the God of the valleys. That's why David was able to say in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." God has no problem seeing on the hill, but he has no problem seeing us in the valley. Amen. Hey, I don't care if it is the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. God hears and God sees. And David was able to say that. Amen. And by the way, we can be afraid of shadows at times. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Normally a shadow just means there's something that I expected to be there that wasn't there, or there's something there that I didn't expect to be there. How many of y'all ever been jumpy at night when you saw a shadow?
Oh, amen.
Amen. I've been. I jump and say, you know, my wife the other day, we was downstairs, and she said, "Man, I thought I saw somebody upstairs." She said, "That's just a shadow of the curtain." I was about to say, "Somebody upstairs, we better get the bat." Amen. You know, and go out the front door. Well, I was saying, you know, they can be upstairs all they want to. Amen. And so shadows often scare us. But did you ever stop to think about what a shadow literally is? A shadow really is nothing. It's something that's blocking the light. And the blockage is casting dimness on the situation. The shadow in and of itself can't hurt you or harm you. Now, if the object is big enough to fall on you, that can. But the shadow in and of itself is not going to hurt you. It is what happens when something is cast. And when you're in a valley and the sun is setting, the shadow sometimes is cast on you and it's dark in the valley. We live out in Vail, and so when the sun sets in the west, it gets darker out there because we're a little bit further out, and so it gets dark out there when the sun gets behind the mountains back there. And so we know what that's like, and so the shadow is cast because something is blocking light. And the question that I have to ask you today is, what is blocking the light in your life and causing you to be in a valley or casting a shadow? And it seems like you're in a valley right now, because whatever it is, you can look unto the hills and God sees. But you can be in the valley and God knows. He understands. And so there could be something going on in your life that you may say, "I'm in the valley right now." David was able to say, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God is with me." So in other words, he said, "You know what? I'm a child of God. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Death seems to be creeping on me, seems to be holding over me. It's scaring me. It seems to be catching up to me. And at any moment I could die." He said, "I will fear no evil. It's not going to touch me. Nothing's going to happen to me that God's not going to let happen to me." And so David could walk in confidence, even through the valley. Why do you think people on their deathbeds like Psalm 23 so much? Why do you like they like the one that says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints," so much? Because they know God sees them when they're in the valley. Whether it's the valley of death or whatever it is, amen. Speaking of valleys, hey, we could be walking in a valley today. And if you are walking in a valley, there is a psalm for you. David said, "I will fear no evil." But maybe you're going through the valley of the shadow of discouragement. Maybe you're just down today. David said, "Thou art with me." And maybe it's the valley of the shadow of defilement. Maybe you came in sinful and dirty. David said, "Thou art with me." Amen. Maybe it's the valley of the shadow of disagreement. Somebody doesn't understand you, doesn't agree with you. David said, "Thou art with me." God always understands us. He always understands us. Amen. The valley of the shadow of disappointment. "Thou art with me." Amen. Things just didn't go the way I thought they were going to go. I'm a little disappointed. "Thou art with me." Maybe the valley of the shadow of despair. David said, "Thou art with me." The valley of the shadow of decision. "Lord, I don't know what decision to make." "Thou art with me." Maybe the valley of the shadow of desperation. "God, I'm desperate. You've not answered my prayer. You've not done what I asked you to do. Lord, when are you going to do it?" "Thou art with me." Maybe it's the valley of the shadow of direction. "Lord, which way do I go from here?" "Thou art with me." No matter if your battle is in the hills or in the valley with shadows, David said, "Thou art with me." David said, "Whither shall I go from thy presence?" He said, "If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I'm in the sea, you're there." He said, "In the nighttime, you're there." The beauty of the Psalms is that they allow us to see the frailty of man, the humanness of man, the emotion of man, the downside of man. God is still God of the hills. as well as God of the valleys, even when shadows make us feel like we're in a valley. Let me read you a commentary from John Phillips on the Psalms. He says this: the Psalms are rich in human experience. At times they ring with the din and noise of battle. At other times they take us with hushed hearts into the inner sanctuary, into the immediate presence of God. At times they set our hearts aflame and our feet dancing for joy. At times we turn to them when we are faced, our faces drenched with tears. For the Psalms touch all the tones and the notes in the keyboard of human emotion. Here we have love and hate, joy and sorrow, hope and fear, peace and strife, faith and despair. But is that not the stuff of which life is made of? No wonder God's saints in all ages have felt the tug of the Psalms. The book is a vast storehouse of human experience, he goes on. In times of trouble, especially, we turn to this book. When Jonah found himself in what he called the belly of hell, he prayed in his short prayer saturated with quotations from the Psalms. Jesus loved them. He went from the upper room with the strains of the Psalms still sounding in his soul. They enabled him to face Gethsemane. He endured Golgotha, quoting from the Psalms. On the day of Pentecost, Peter turned instinctively to the Psalms to find words to explain vital truth to the stricken Jewish people in Jerusalem. Paul, in summarizing the Holy Spirit's great indictment of human race in Romans chapter 3, found the language he needed in the Psalms also. He goes on to say there is a sameness in the Psalms, as anyone who has tried to preach through them consecutively has soon discovered. Yet there is astonishing variety in them too. The sameness is that of the waves of rolling in from depths of a vast ocean to break upon the sands of the shore. The same, yet each one slightly different. It's not surprising that there is a similarity about them. They nearly all came out of a relatively few historical molds. Some were born during David's fugitive years in the days of Saul. Others were wrung out of his soul during the Absalom rebellion. Some he wrote when he firmly was enthroned as Israel's king, reigning in the affections of his people. Some he penned in the terrible days that followed his sin with Bathsheba. Hezekiah wrote a fair number of psalms during the days of the Assyrian invasion. Some psalms seem to relate to the experiences of Israel during their Babylonian captivity, and others to the travails of the remnant who returned to claim again the promised land for the coming Messiah. The psalms have seemed to have been plucked on relatively few strings of the harp, yet none are identical. Isn't that just like the psalms? If you have a Bible that's got any sort of references in it, it'll have places where to look at when this happens or when this happens. Many of those will be Psalms. What am I talking about? I copied this out of my book. It says, when it comes to fear, you can overcome fear, because Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my light. Of whom shall I be afraid? Another one says this: when it comes to guidance, you can turn to Psalm 23:2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And Psalm 25:9, he says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Psalm 48:14, he will be our guide even unto death. When it comes to knowing there is a God, in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. When it comes to God's compassion, Psalms 86:15 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Aren't you glad that God is long-suffering? Aren't you glad that God is a gracious God? Amen. And he didn't wipe us out when he had a chance. Amen. I am so glad about that. Many of the psalms were composed for private and public worship. Others were born out of deep experiences of the soul. They include meditations, historical recitals, formal instruction, and passionate entreaties. As such, they are a treasury of thought from which to draw when approaching God in prayer, whether congregationally or privately. For in the psalms, man's soul is bared. What do we see? We see sin. We see sorrow. We see shame. We see repentance. We see hope. We see faith. We see love. These are all expressed, and their topics are universal in scope. They're timeless in nature and the very material of which prayer is made. I don't know about you, but as I've been studying the Psalms, I have been praying those psalms back to my God. And say, God, if you did it for them, do it for me. God, if you rescued them, rescue me. God, if you comfort their soul, comfort my soul. God, if you lifted them up, lift me up. But when I felt cast down like they felt cast down, oh, God, pick me up. I've been praying the psalms back like Jonah did, like Jesus did, and like many others did. And friends, you can do it too. The book of Psalms is also a collection of 150 hymns that cover the whole range of human emotion experience. Is it a troublesome experience? Terrifying experience? A triumphant experience? A testing experience? A tragic experience? It is mirrored in the Psalms. Is it joy that floods the soul? Is it a sense of justice outraged? Is it happiness, holiness, or horror, or hate? Is it gladness or sadness? Is it love or longing or loneliness? Is it passion or peace? Is it worship or war? Is it frustration or forgiveness or fear? The Psalms reflect them all. The Psalms reflect them all. Often within a single psalm, the tempo will change, the tone will change, the tune will change. The psalms blend together the deep notes of gloom and the light airy notes of exultation and joy. I was just sharing with my wife one of the psalms that I was studying out, and the first several verses were gloom and despair and distraughtness. But the last two, the psalmist said, but that's all right. God, you're good. God, you see. God, you know. God, you know. I mean, all the other verses, you would have thought that he had gotten knocked out. He was down for the count. But the last two verses, he just came back and said, God is in charge. God's on the throne. God's going to vindicate. God's going to answer. God's going to deliver. I ain't worried about nothing else. And the Psalms can take a swing just like that. But don't our emotions do the same thing? They do. And that's why the Psalms are so loved by people. It's the stuff that life is made up, highs and lows and goods and bads and sads and glads and ups and downs. Psalm 121, let's look at that just for a few moments. We're not going to get very far. But I just want us to notice a few things from verse number 1. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Notice the description of our help. The description of our help. First of all, I want you to notice it's a direct help from above. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes. Have you ever noticed when you're down, your eyes barely go up? You ever saw someone discouraged? What's one of the first things they do? They put their head down. You ever seen somebody ashamed? They put that head down. You ever see something that goes wrong? What do? Put that head down. Let me encourage you something. Ain't no help down there. Ain't no help. That's the helpless. They need help down there. The psalmist said, I've got a direct help. I'm not looking down. I'm looking up. I'm going to lift up mine eyes. Hey, he said, I want to see something. I want to see God. I want to see Jesus. I'm looking to the hills that represents Jerusalem. That's my God. He's my aid. He's my help. He's the one I need. He's my comfort. He's my strength. I'm not going to put my eyes down. I'm not going to cast my eyes down. I'm not bashful. I'm not ashamed. I've got nothing to worry about. I've got nothing to be alarmed about. Why keep my eyes down? My eyes are up on the hills. It's a direct help. Let me tell you something. When you get down, look up. When you get down, don't look down, because there's no help down. The help is up. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. How many of y'all know the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? There's a reason why. Get your hymnals. Go over there. What page is that on? Let me find that. Notice 639. Go to 639. The psalmist said, I'm going to lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord. I'm lifting my eyes up. Notice 639. Notice the lyrics here in 639. As soon as I get there, amen. It would help knowing that it's at the back of the book. Amen. And notice what, oh soul, are you weary and troubled? Sounds like a valley to me, doesn't it? No light in the darkness you see. Sounds like a valley to me. There's light for a look at the Savior. He said, look, if you go and look at the Savior, I'll give you some light. Hey, it may be dark. You may be weary. You may be troubled. You may be in a valley. Hey, but there's light when you take a look at the Savior. And life more abundant and free. He said, not only do you have light, you have life. The chorus says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. The psalmist said, I will lift mine eyes. I want to get some help. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Bypass his hand altogether. You don't need his hand. You need his face. You need a look at him. I don't know about you, but somebody's hand don't encourage me. Let me look at their face. I can see the eyes. I can see what they're thinking. We don't need the hand. We need the face of God. Look full in his wonderful face, and what happens? And the things of earth will grow what? Strangely dim. But if you're looking down at the earth, you're not looking up at God. In the light of his glory and grace. Notice verse number 2. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we followed him there. Over us, sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Even in the valley, we're more than conquerors. Stanza number 3. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. He said, be a missionary. Go out there. Amen. What did he say? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. In other words, the psalmist is saying, I'm not going to look down. I'm not going to get discouraged. My circumstances look bleak. It looks dark around me. I'm in a valley. Hey, but I'm going to lift up my eyes. I'm going to get direct help from God. I'm not going to bypass anything else, but God is who I need. Was another song in there that talks about open our eyes, we would see Jesus. 333. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and trust him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. You can't get any better than that. What did the psalmist say? I'm going to lift up my eyes. When discouragement sets in, our eyes often focus down. When possibly the psalmist had been looking down. However, he changed his view and said, I'm going to lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. It's not from below. I'm lifting my eyes up. And by the way, in this sense, the eyes goes beyond the physical eye to the mental eye and to the spiritual eye. I don't have to look at a hill. Why? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he said. I don't have to look to a hill. Why? Lo, I am with you always. Even to the end of the world. I don't have to worry about the hills. Why? Because God is here. So I just have to lift my eyes up to him in prayer. Beseeching him. Not only is it a direct help. I will lift up mine eyes. It's a direct help from above. It's a dynamic help from above. He says, my help cometh from the Lord. It's a dynamic help. And first of all, in that dynamic help, it's personal. He says, my. That indicates a personal pronoun. It's my car. It's my house. It's my church. By the way, you should say it's my church too. I don't have any personal possession. Okay, I signed the books. But guess what? When it comes to God, nobody's got the market on God. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, nobody's got the market on the Holy Spirit. When it comes to the Word of God, nobody's got the market on that. It's my Word. It's my book. It's my God. It's my Holy Spirit. It's mine. It's personal. See, friend, if you don't make it personal, and if it's not your God in the valley, then you're going to be looking up at something else that's not really real. He's got to be your help. The psalmist says, my help. Now, there might have been many with them, and many may be with them, but he said, no, my help comes from the Lord. I don't know where yours is coming from. Mine's coming from the Lord. What are you saying? It's personal. Tragically, I believe many call on the Lord for help all the time and see no real results. It's probably because they don't really know the Lord personally. It goes right back to what we said last Wednesday. They believe in the Lord, but they don't believe on the Lord. Kenny talked to two people yesterday. Both believed in the Lord. But neither one believed on the Lord. Makes a difference. Makes a difference. And so I believe many call on the Lord. I believe many acclaim Psalm 23. And yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me, and God's nowhere to be found. Let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a time when you really went to the Lord as a sinner personally in need of a Savior? As Pastor White said yesterday, not to get your job back. Not to get your husband back. Not to get your wife back. Not to get your children back. Not to get any favors from God, just in humility. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm undone. I'm unclean. If you don't go that way, friend, that's not salvation. Well, I just wanted to go to God because God was good. Well, yeah, he is good. And he still is God. And because he's good and because he's God, he's holy and he's just and he cannot excuse sin. And sin is what we all have. And we've got to take that sin and put it under the blood and turn to Jesus Christ and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him. Or otherwise, friend, your help doesn't come from the Lord in that respect. Now, my God is he's a gracious God and he's a merciful God and he will help you, but he is not obligated to help you. Just like I will help other children, but I'm not obligated to, but three children. Joshua, G2, and Faith. Now, I help other children, but in the crunch, you know who I'm going to help? My children. Why? My help. They're my children. The psalmist said it's a personal help. My help cometh from the Lord. Did you really go personally as a sinner in need of a Savior? Not that Jesus died for the world, but he died for you personally. Did you make him personal? I believe many call on the Lord and they don't really know him personally. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Let me close with this thought. If his help is coming from the Lord and it's a personal help, that means he has a personal relationship with him. He had no problem going and crying out to him in his time of need. Now, I'm not talking about emotional crying out. I'm talking about real crying out. I'm talking about crying out when you believe that the one in whom you're crying to hears you. I'm talking about real crying out, the one who hears you saved you. I'm talking about real crying out, the one who hears you, saved you, cares about you. And as a result, you cry to him because he cares. He saved me. He knows me because I confess my sins to him. So this psalmist is crying out with understanding. He's my help. And it's going to come from the Lord. And that's why he could be at rest. That's why he could be at peace. And so when it comes down to this psalm and the travels that this psalmist is going on over, he ends and says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, this time forth and even forevermore. Because every time I travel, this is going to be the way it is. My help coming from the Lord. Let me ask you a question, but where's your help coming from? Your bank account, maybe? Maybe your husband? Maybe your wife? Maybe an advisor? Maybe a counselor? Maybe a coworker? Maybe a son? Maybe a daughter? Maybe a mom? Maybe your dad? The greatest help you can get is from the Lord. Amen. Everybody else will fail. But at the end of the day, the psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord. He's not going to fail me. He's not going to slip. He's not going to slide. He's not going to stumble. Oh, it may seem like I'm in a valley, but thou art with me. Oh, it may be a little dark right now, but he's going to be my shade by night. My son by day and my shade by night. Y'all know what it's saying there, amen. Lord, thy shade upon thy right hand, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. There we go, amen. He sees me. Let me encourage you, if you never made the Lord Jesus Christ your personal Savior, you never believed on the Lord, you may believe in him. But test it to see if you've really believed on him. Do you have a desire for him? Not just his hand, his face. Do you want to commune with him? Do you want to be with him? Do you want to be with his word? Do you want to be with his people? Do you want to be with him? Do you want to hear one day, well done, thou good and faithful? Are you working for heaven's sake? Because if you're saved, that's where you're going. Now, if you're working for the world's sake, guess what? This is the best you're going to see. But if you're working for heaven's sake, you know that my reward comes down there. It's not right here. I have a greater cause. My help coming from the Lord. I invite you, if you're not saved today, get saved. Be able to say with this psalmist, my help cometh from the Lord's made heaven and earth. You will bow before him and ask his help now, or you will ask for his help later when it's too late. Trust him today before it's everlasting, too late. Father, thank you for this time of introduction to the Psalms. And Lord, there's much emotion here in the range of Psalms, but the psalmist says here today, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And Father, we've seen it's a direct help. It's also a dynamic help. He said, I lift up my eyes directly. But it's a dynamic help. My help cometh from the Lord. It's special. And Lord, I thank you that you're not just the God of the hills, but you're the God of the valleys. And you see us going through our hardships and our hard times. And Lord, you understand and you know and you care and you love. And nothing gets past you. Thank you for keeping us as the apple of thine eye. Lord, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls here today. Maybe some might say, I need to pick me out a psalm that goes with my circumstances. Some might need to say, I need to read the Psalms more clearly and consistently. Some might say, I need to grab hold of a verse that's going to point directly to my situation right now. Or maybe there's a man, woman, boy, or girl here today that would say, I've never been born again, never been saved. I believe in Jesus, but I've never believed on him. I need to get saved. Lord, work in that heart of that man, that woman, that boy, or girl. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. How many to be honest today with our heads bowed and eyes closed to lift your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm concerned about it. I believe in him, but I'm not sure if I really believed on him. I'm kind of confused that believing in is not believing on. Would you pray for me, preacher? Anyone like that at all? I'm a little confused with believing in and believing on. Preacher, would you pray for me that I can get that matter settled? Anyone at all? Just slip your hand up. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How about this? Lord, I need a psalm. I need a psalm for the situation I'm going through. Preacher, would you pray that God would give me the psalm that I need to go through what I'm going through right now? You'd say, lift your hand up, pray for me, preacher, that I can get that psalm that I need right now to go through what I'm going through. Amen. Amen. Many hands going up. My hand's up as well. And guess what? God's already given me several. And I know there's more to come. Amen. You may put them down. If you raise your hand saying, God, give me a psalm, start reading them. And say, Lord, pick out the one that's for me. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you need to be saved. As the music begins to play in just a moment, why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar, settle things with God. If you're not saved, get saved. If you need a psalm, ask God to burden your heart. Maybe someone that you know is struggling, they need a psalm. Maybe God will give you a psalm that you can give to them that can comfort them in the night. And Father, bless this invitation time. The time of dedication and decision-making where we will ask you for things and we will look to you for things. We will lift our eyes unto the hills. Our help comes from you, our Lord. And Lord, give the help that is needed today, whether it's salvation, Lord, whether it's someone just getting a psalm of encouragement, or maybe it's someone encouraging someone else with a psalm. Do what you do best, Lord. Meet our need in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, one looking around as the music plays. You move. God spoke in your heart. Maybe, God, I need a psalm. Maybe I need to be saved. You need to be saved, come meet me.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled?
Would you come?
No light in the darkness you see.
Oh, please don't play games with God.
There's
you never know
light for
when the day will be your last day.
At the
you never know when time will be up.
And life more.
Preach, I believe in. But have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Preach, we've heard that since last Wednesday. Because many still are believing in.
Upon
and I believe in.
Jesus.
I think we need to keep it before us.
Look full in his
wonderful. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Things
of this earth shall grow strangely dim.
And the things of earth. will grow.
Lord, give me a psalm this year. Lord, come from my heart this year. Lord, speak to me this year. Show me how I can be encouraging to others. Oh God, I'm in a valley right now. Lord, would you bring me out of discouragement? Bring me out of defilement, out of disagreement, out of disappointment, out of despair, out of desperation. Oh God, give me direction. Help me with my decisions. God, I'm in a valley. I can't see. There's a shadow cast on my pathway. It's not the shadow of death, but the shadow of discouragement. Defilement, disagreement. It's a shadow. Despair. Desperation. It's clouding my way, Lord. I need help. I want to lift my eyes unto the hills. I'm crying out to you, Lord. That's the way you feel. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face.
Wonderful
things of this earth.
And the things of earth will grow strange.
Devin, sing one more stanza.
In the light of his glory.
God spoke in your heart, would you come?
And grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised.
Believe him and all will be well.
And all trust his word. Will be well.
Would you trust the Savior?
Then
if so, go to a world that's dying.
A world that is dying. His
perfect salvation today. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth shall grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you that we can turn our eyes upon you. Thank you that we can lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. And God, thank you that you are a ready help. You are an ever-present help. You're an accessible help. You're the help that we need. Lord, you're the help in distress. Lord, thank you that the help that you provide is the help that we need. And Lord, help us to access that help. As the psalmist said, my help cometh from the Lord. Lord, we can know where the help comes from, but not go to get the help that we need. Oh God, help us to be mindful to go and get the help that we need. And recognize that you're a God that loves us. Lord, bless these that came to an old-fashioned altar and bared their soul to you and bared their heart to you. And Lord, I don't know if they're going through a valley. They've got a shadow, Lord, they're just coming to praise you for being a good God and a great God. Lord, whether they just need some assistance in helping someone else. Lord, I don't know. Many are the needs, but we know that these Psalms covers a range of needs and emotions. And so, Lord, dismiss us with thy blessings and, Lord, work in our hearts like only you can do. Thank you for meeting with us today. In Jesus' name. Before we dismiss.